Welcome, everyone, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the show designed to find guests that will bring you insights into the trends shaping their own workplace, in the hopes that something that they say about these trends will help you get a little bit better at what it is that you do. We focus on workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends and find the guests that can give us insights on those trends. And before we get in today's content, I want to give a big shout out to Bob Galloway. Bob, I know you're driving over near Gulf Shores right now as you listen to this. Bob approached me at a fishing tournament way in, grabbed my hand, shook it, told me he was a fan of the show. He kind of listed for me some of his favorite guests. And it's wonderful to have these experiences with people who are out there listening, who can quote some of the guests back to me. It was really great meeting Bob. Bob, have a safe drive. Thank you for listening. This show was begun now four some odd years ago. We're over 170 episodes at this point. And one of the reasons, there were many, but one of the reasons that I began this show is that I have an insatiable curiosity. I love asking people questions and getting to know why it is that they do what they do and what their background is, etc. A story my wife is fond of telling is that when she and I were touring the Biltmore Mansion up near Asheville, North Carolina, I was asked to step to the back of the line in the tour because I had asked so many questions. We were already an hour behind in the tour and we were in room number two. And the tour guide looked at me and said, "Sir, you're just going to have to either leave the tour or get to the back of the line. We got a pace to keep and we're an hour behind schedule due to your questions." I love these things, man. I love asking questions. I'm a curious guy. And I began the show because it allows me to find people and ask questions. Otherwise, they think you're strange. You just don't pick up the phone and call somebody and say, "Hey, I've got about an hour's worth of questions for you. You don't know me. Would you mind answering these questions?" That's a little odd. However, you call them and tell them, "I'd love to put you on the radio and learn more about what you do." They're more likely to take your call. Not all of them do, but they're more likely to take your call. Driving up and down Dauphin Street in Mobile, Alabama, there are a number of beautiful buildings, one of which is closer to the Broad Street side of Dauphin Street, towards that end. It used to be a church. Today, it is the Alabama School for Math and Science. And I've looked at that building for years as I've gone up and down Dauphin Street and said, "I wonder what goes on in there. I wonder who those people are. I wonder who those students are. I wonder how the faculty knows what to be teaching, considering the school's approach to STEM education. I wonder how the faculty's keeping tabs on what the demands are for the colleges and the workplaces out there. I wonder what this elite group of students hopes to do for themselves once they leave this school." It's a boarding school, if you don't know. It takes a really elite type of student. They kind of keep to themselves, in my opinion. That's from the outside looking in. We had a neighbor's son leave his school where we would carpool him from time to time and go to Alabama School of Math and Science. And the last I heard, he was excelling at Georgia Tech. So whatever they got going on down there seems to be working. And I'm very curious about who these people are and how they know what to teach and then perhaps how they teach it. So, in my insatiable curiosity, I reached out. Dr. John Hoyle will join me after break. He's running the show down there. He's going to give us some insight into the school, what it is that they do, what their hopes for their students are. And I'm very curious about, like I said earlier, how do they know what they should be teaching, considering the changing demands of the workplace and the marketplace? How do they keep plugged in into what the skills they need to teach to keep these kids ready for whatever that next level is? Very interested in what his insight is on that. And learn a little bit about who these kids are as well. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Looking forward to getting a John Hoyle together in the studio with me in a moment. Many of these kids go into engineering. That's what my neighbor's son did, that I understand is where he is at Georgia Tech, going into engineering. And engineering has always and seems to be, will always be a lucrative career for those that can get that degree. It's difficult. And ironically, Most every engineer that I know no longer practices engineering. They began as an engineer in their workplace. It got them into the job. And then they were quickly promoted into different places due to their problem-solving skills, which are taught, it seems to me, in engineering school. If I had entered the engineering building on the Tulane campus, if I had entered, there would have been alarms going off and I would have been quickly ushered back to the door. But engineering is one of those lucrative fields that people tend to start in and then move out from, again, due to their problem-solving skills. They also have capabilities for building up some assets. And if you're one of those people, or you're one of these people that have built up assets, it's time to introduce you to my friends at Sandifer Wealth Management. Mark Salyers, Jamie Sandifer. They work on financial planning with retirement and college and estate planning. They can help you with 401k implementation and rollovers. I know these guys. I know their team. Nice, family-oriented, very helpful people. Sandifer Wealth Management. They're looking for people that save more than they spend. And engineers seem to have figured this out. When we come back, I'll have Dr. John Hoyle with me. You're listening to What's Working.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Now offering the purchase of the Stella Artois Chalice, a beautiful stemmed glass with the Stella logo. The purchase of each Stella Artois chalice provides 5 years of clean water for someone in one of 13 developing countries around the world. Learn more at StellaArtois.com. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
I'm Eric Cromwell. The law firm of Cromwell & Associates can help guide your decisions regarding the life you've created with estate planning tools like wills and trusts. We've planned meetings with first-generation business owners and large multi-generational family groups. With locations in Mobile and Fair Hope, we can assist you and your family through every stage of life. To learn more, call 251-605-9075 or find Cromwell & Associates on Facebook.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. I'm State Farm Agent Allison Horner, and that's why I'm right here in Mobile to help you select the right protection at the right price. I'll make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. With me as your State Farm agent, it's easy to make the right choice. You can come by, call, or click AllisonHorner.com. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Thanks for joining in. I'm with John Hoyle, a New Orleans native, a Katrina evacuee who is currently running the Alabama School for Math and Science. He is the president today, and we're going to learn a lot about what goes on in that big mysterious building along the side of Dolphin Street. John, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here with you.
Let's start by telling people what exactly is the Alabama School for Math and Science.
Sure. The Alabama School of Math and Science is a unique high school in the state of Alabama. We're a public school, so we're funded by the state legislature, and we bring kids from all over the state, all 67 counties, and they live on campus, and that's what's unique about the school. And we teach them STEM concepts, but we're not just a STEM school. We also have humanities classes. But we're unique because our teachers are PhDs and master's level teachers, and they really get into some very high level things.
What is enrollment?
Enrollment is always about 260. That's where we can cap it. That's all the room we have.
Are students from every county in the state represented?
They have been historically, but you know, during a given year, it comes and goes. Right now, we probably have about 50 counties represented.
So there's not a mandate that there be a student represented from every county that the legislature has pushed upon you?
No, there's not. And we'd love to represent every county. But right now, it's about 50.
The applicants, they somewhat self-select. You don't recruit students to the School for Math and Science.
So they do self-select. We do recruit as well, but we're a public school, so we have to be careful with what we spend our budget on. We like to spend it on teaching and the curriculum and learning. But we do some recruiting. We travel across the state and host meetings so that people can learn about us.
So most of the students, is it accurate to say, know about you, find out about you, and make an application there? Tell me about a little bit more about these students.
Sure. I can give you a really good example. We had a student graduate this year. She's a wonderful student. She's going to Harvard. She scored a very good ACT. And what she told us about her decision was that she was at a good high school, but she wasn't being challenged, and so she looked around across the state, found us, talked to her parents about it. They were skeptical, but when they came, they viewed the campus, they toured, they talked to us, they did their homework. They decided that although she was pretty young and leaving home early, it was the best decision for her, and it turned out to be true. She got to do powerful research. She got to have many good experiences at the school. She became a leader. And now she's Harvard bound.
No kidding. That's pretty good. What's she going to focus on in Harvard?
Well, I don't know. And I love that she doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
Because too many kids are so young and they decide, I want to be this.
Yeah.
And maybe they get into college and they can change their mind. She has an open mind.
I'm curious if, as people say often, kids these days, what's going on with kids these days? I don't understand kids these days. I had a conversation just the other day. Kids these days are soft. My suspicion is you don't believe that.
Oh, I absolutely know that that's a lie. The data backs up that. I would put a kid today from my school up against any kid from the 1950s in terms of what their math skills would be. The kids at ASMS would wipe the table with kids from the 1950s.
But they're not normal. They're abnormal kids.
Yes, and I understand what people mean about kids today. But let's think back now. Historically, even back to Socrates, you had parents complaining about kids today.
I love that quote, by the way, and I know what you're referring to. Please continue.
So it's all a misnomer. From back in the days of Socrates, up through the Renaissance, up through the Dark Ages, up until now, people have always complained that the previous generation is too soft. They don't have the skills. I can tell you they do, and they're getting sharper. Look at the ACT scores. They rise every year. Because it's not because the test is easier. It's actually getting a little harder. It's because people are getting smarter. Students are getting smarter. Do you know the skills that we require students to learn to graduate from ASMS and other schools? They're nothing compared to so much more than what we had going on even 15, 20 years ago.
And I'm encouraged with your comments. And perhaps we can get into why I'm encouraged by them a little bit later on. But where does the kids these days are soft attitude come from, beginning with Socrates?
Well, it's a good question. I think that a lot of folks don't like to see kids on their phones and devices and too much into computers and video games.
Yeah.
But there were things back then that also took kids' time up.
Yeah.
I would be interested to bring someone from like the 1920s into today's society to see how they would fare in a current high school setting. I think there would be a major adjustment.
I was with a group not long ago, California Grocers Association, giving a workshop for them. And their challenge is getting kids that can engage. I mean, one of the challenges that I've worked with different grocery stores on in my seminar business is getting their cashiers, which are usually younger people, to make eye contact and smile and say hello to the customer. And so I'm going to play the stereotype here, and I'm confident you're going to debunk me. When you go into a group of students that are truly excel in math and sciences like yours do. You told me that you do teach humanities. My suspicion is you have a lot of introverts. They look at the extroverted one looks at your shoes when they talk to you versus their own, that old standard joke. Talk to me about the social skills of these kids.
So what we've recognized in the past 10 years is that some students are introverted and they do lack some soft skills, but they have brilliant minds. And so how we've tried to bridge that gap is to focus on leadership skills through the Joe Bonner Leadership Academy that we now offer at the school, as well as a communications class that all students have to take. Mm. So they go through public speaking, they develop resumes, they do speech and debate, they have to deliver speeches, they have to have good writing skills. And we're confident that just those small tweaks we've made to our curriculum are helping our students stand out when they go to job interviews, when they interview for top-level college positions. The data is backing that up.
You began in what year? It's right here in front of me. The school began in what year? 2000?
ASMS started in 1989.
1989. Okay. What are your graduates doing these days? How closely do you track them? What is their success post-education land?
So I'll give you a quick anecdote. Kevin Dolbear has been a chemistry teacher and biology teacher at ASMS for about 17 years. He recently had a health scare. And when he went to the hospital, in that emergency room, he laid eyes on somebody he recognized. It was one of our alumni. That alumni saved his life that day. Our alumni are doctors. Unfortunately, some are lawyers. Many of them are college professors. They're in all fields, and they're not just in Alabama making a difference. They're spread out all over the world.
Yeah. So do you keep up with them? What is an alumni event like for your group? There's so many questions. What is it like for your group?
Well, they're everyday, ordinary folks. In many ways, they're just very bright and successful.
Yeah. I really want to get into STEM and the significance of it. And in my opinion, here's Cam Marston on his soapbox. Through the past 4, 5, maybe 6 years, there has been a pushback to science. And we saw this everywhere from the Oval Office to the today people out there today who are refusing the vaccine because of the fear in it, thinking that the science is not good or that they've begun distrusting science. At the same time, there is the cry for more STEM education. Talk to me about that, if you will.
So science is probably one of the most important things that students can study in school, along with math. And that's our bread and butter. We see that people save lives when they know a lot about science. Lots of our students go into medical fields. They're nurses, they're doctors, they run hospitals, and they're saving lives on a daily basis. So I think a lot of that culture war stuff is not anything ASMS is interested in. We're interested in making a difference in Alabama, and we do that through our graduates.
So you've not seen a decline in interest in you in the past 5 or 6 years due to, as you put it, probably accurately, the culture wars that we've seen as a nation?
No, I have not. We can't spend a lot of money on advertising. So in some unfortunate ways, we're a hidden gem in Alabama. But for the people who know about us, for the people who are seeking an advanced diploma for a high school student, we're just what they need. And our enrollment numbers have not declined.
Yeah. So is there a waiting list for the school to get in?
Yes, we do have a waiting list. We do attract more girls in Alabama than we do boys, and we'd love to know more about why that is. But it just could be that a lot of boys like sports in Alabama, and maybe the old adage of girls being a little more mature is something that is true.
I will give you my theory on the girls versus boys because I've had that conversation in this type of environment in the past with an educator. And he claims there's been a pendulum swing movement well towards the feminization of education. And we'll talk about that theory when we come back from break. I'm with John Hoyle. He's the president of the Alabama School of Math and Science. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be right back.
Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business. Same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six-packs before your next adventure or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
This is Cam Marston, and I'm with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, if a homeowner thinks they have termites, do you offer inspections? What about someone buying a new home? Can you come in and take a look and see if there are termites in their new home?
Yeah, basically what we would do on a home above and beyond anyone else is we actually do a thorough inspection. But above that, we will use infrared imaging that will allow us to see problems in the wall. And at times can tell us if there's anything going on.
That's fantastic, Cajun Mike. How can people find you?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
King Solomon wrote, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." The law firm of Cromwell & Associates has the legal counsel that can help your business succeed with experience in LLCs, corporations, and tax. I'm Eric Cromwell. Our law firm has locations in Mobile and Fairhope. Call 251-605-9075 or search for Cromwell & Associates on Facebook. And let's discuss how we can help you.
You're back. You're listening to What's Working. John Hoyle is the guest in the studio with me today. He's the president of the Alabama School of Math and Sciences. His students are an elite group of people across the state of Alabama who are there to really pursue something at the next level, if you will. John, prior to break, we were talking about the theory of the feminization of education. And I can tell you where my kids go to school. They don't have but one or two male teachers in the entire school, which I think is similar to most schools out there. And they have not received an influence of a male teacher until they're in, I think it's middle or upper school. Furthermore, there is not an African-American male teacher there. There's only one or two African-American female teachers. So the guy that I talked to this about suggests that there has been a pendulum movement towards the feminization of education, which has left the boys behind because many of the behavior that a boy exhibits in the classroom, he is punished for, in some cases, by a female teacher who just thinks that that is acting out versus a boy. Got a thought on that?
And that could be the case for elementary school levels where you have so much emphasis on testing and prepping for state standardized tests, and kids can't get out for recess. They can't move around as much. So there may be something to that theory, but I would argue that when they come to ASMS, regardless of whether they're a boy or a girl, they're going to have a unique experience where they're treated as equals and where they can make a name for themselves and learn a lot, in an open playing field.
I have no doubt that ASMS is a different organization than the ones I'm referring to, than the other schools. Do you know off the top of your head the percentage of male faculty?
That's a good question. I would say it's almost half.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Do you recruit aggressively for faculty as well?
Well, our faculty really like working at the school. We probably have the most outstanding faculty of any high school in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
So we do a good job of filling positions, but they don't come up very often because people are pretty content at the school.
Let's talk about STEM. The focus of the show is workplace and workforce trends. STEM has been an important part of the workplace and workforce for a while now. I can't exactly remember when it came to surface. But first, tell me about what STEM is. And then secondly, I read about the designation that you all recently received. Tell me about that.
So we earned Cognia STEM certification. And what that means is that an outside assessor came in, took a look at our program. We had to offer up a whole lot of data, about 200 pages that we had to write. So we wrote a term paper to sort of prove that we were doing a good job of offering a STEM-based curriculum to our students.
So it didn't include the success of your students picking up the STEM content. It only included content of what you were offering to the students. Is that correct?
No. Some of the data that we did provide included what our alumni are doing and data related to graduation rates.
Yeah.
And success rates.
For those listening that don't know what STEM is an acronym for, go ahead and tell us, please.
So it's the S is for science. The T is for technology. The E is for engineering. And the M is for mathematics.
And how do you keep up with what the marketplace needs you to be teaching? So prior to us beginning this conversation, hypothetically, there was a robotics company. I know the Northeast is heavy into robotics. Well, let's say it's anywhere in the state of Alabama. And do they come to you? Do these companies come to you and say, hey, your graduates are proving to be wonderful people, but I need them smart in this when they get here and it needs to start in the high school level?
Yeah, this is one of the most powerful questions that we ask ourselves as an institution every year. Are we offering what we need to place our kids in a good position to market themselves, not only for college acceptance, but beyond that? So how we go about answering that is, first of all, we look at what colleges are offering. We talk to colleges. Our board of directors is wonderful. They're from all over the state. Many of them are educators, and so they do a good job of helping us get in touch with people throughout the state and beyond, in some cases, to see what colleges are offering. And then we mirror that. We align what we teach with what they're teaching.
Are you in contact with these colleges?
Absolutely.
You're calling, let's say hypothetically, University of Alabama, saying, what are the questions you're asking them? What are the conversations you're having?
And the other thing I have to say is that almost every one of our teachers has college teaching experience. So they know what it's like at that level. And that in and of itself is wonderful experience that they can help their kids to understand what's expected at the next level.
Do you have any projections of what the demand is or will be for STEM-educated students?
We do. But let me back up and answer one more thing. You know, one thing that's just very simple that we do is we'll call up a college and say, what textbook are you using?
Oh.
And then we will actually buy that textbook and use it so that when kids get to college, they recognize that textbook and the materials.
Very good. And their colleges are eager to share this with you. They're on your side, I assume. They don't view you as a competitor. They're equally as into getting these kids prepared for the next level as you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are the projections for STEM-related jobs in the future?
It's booming. Healthcare is booming, and not just because of COVID-19. It was already happening before that.
Yeah.
Engineering, it's going to boom. So those two fields are very big right now.
Do you have any students that come into the school that want to be anything other than a STEM-affiliated professional?
Of course we do. And those students find great success at the school. It's a misnomer, the name. You know, we are math and science based, and that is our focus. But our humanities programs are just as good.
Yeah. Well, you're a full-throated advocate of the school, which I would expect nothing else. Where are you weak? I'm going to put you on the spot. Where's the school weak?
And that's an easy one. And I don't mean this as an insult to our students and their time, but we are not an athletic powerhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a lot of field space next to it over there,
We do. And our kids are wonderful athletes, and they try very hard. But we don't compete for state championships. We can't. The state athletic association doesn't allow us to do that, and that's okay by us.
Why?
Well, because we recruit from all over the state.
Oh, I see. It's yes. the recruiting component.
We don't have a football team, by the way, and we're okay with that.
Yeah.
We love football. When Alabama or Auburn or other schools play, you will always see kids in the TV room watching those games.
Yes.
But we're okay not offering a football program.
So I asked, what are you weak in? And you said athletics, but athletics can't be an important part of what it is that you do, correct?
It's not, but – you know, we want to create an experience for kids where they can be fit and understand the body and how it reacts to exercising. And so we have a weight room, we have a fitness room, we have a gym, we offer cross country, volleyball, soccer. We offer a lot of sports, and we think that it's good to do that because we want kids to be in shape. We want them to exercise their bodies like they're exercising their minds, and they need a stress relief.
Who do they compete with if they're not allowed to play with the athletic association?
So when I was an athlete in high school, we played maybe 36 basketball games during a season, and that was a robust schedule. Our students may play 12 basketball games, and they compete against schools locally.
Oh, I see. So they don't, quote unquote, count. They count for the people that are playing in them, but it doesn't go part of the record, and they can't excel into a playoff division or anything
like that. No playoffs for us, no.
Yeah. Who are your coaches for your athletes?
So our coaches are great people who also teach classes.
Yeah.
Coach Bro is one, and Angel Jackson is another. And they're very patient individuals. They know what our students' needs are. They're teaching health classes, they're teaching exercise classes, and they're coaching on top of that. So they bring a great service to the school.
What is your effort? And we may be coming up to break here, but I want to talk about what is your effort to create the whole student versus rifling them into a science, technology, engineering, or math thing? How important is it? You told me you offered humanities. You told me you're offering athletics. But are those – is that window dressing or is it your job? Do you feel you're compelled to create the whole person?
So if we offer a class, we want to make sure it's the best class that we can give students. We want that experience to be very good for them, whether it's German, French, Spanish, English, history, economics. Those courses are going to be solid, and our teachers are excellent in those fields. Any class we offer is a good class.
So, well, let's take the break. Let's go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about the youth going to a boarding school. Goodness knows boarding schools have existed for a long time. But it's got to be a difficult decision for some kids to uproot themselves, come to what many people consider Mobile, a strange part of the state, and go into this school of yours. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston.
Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com, building legacies one relationship at a time.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit springhilltoyota.com today. It's just that easy.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at braidedriverbrewing.com.
Think about how people really see you. The kid at the drive-thru just sees a coffee drinker.
Please pull forward.
Your local barista sees the person who loves a smiley face in their latte.
See you next time.
It's kind of the same way with insurance. Other insurance companies just see a customer, but a State Farm agent sees more. They see you as a neighbor. Your State Farm agent is here to get to know who you really are so they can help life go right.
Call me, State Farm agent Allison Horner, in Mobile at 666-1616.
You're listening to What's Working. John Hoyle is a New Orleans Katrina evacuee, another one that landed in Mobile on the heels of that storm and has settled down in the city. We have benefited from a lot of intelligent people that have come out of New Orleans and settled in Mobile. John, prior to the break, I asked, how are you developing the whole student? Are they railroading themselves? You told into a very narrow niche. You told me about the diversity of courses that you offer. You told me about you're offering the humanities, but still my mind is wrapped up around somebody who's really, 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 really intelligent and kind of lack the soft skills. Tell me about that.
So that may be. And about 6 years ago, we talked to corporations and different organizations in Mobile. And what we found was that they noticed an industry trend where they were getting new employees who lacked some soft skills. So we dug into that and we decided to partner up with some businesses, and that's how we developed our curriculum for our communications class. And we've been offering it to every single student who graduates from the school for about 6 years now.
What is involved in the communications class? It's such a broad term.
It is, but they're getting attention to their soft skills.
Yeah.
They will have to deliver a speech. They will have to help others edit their papers. They will have to involve themselves in debating students about ideas. They'll look into resume writing, and they'll do mock job interviews with sometimes panels of adults who will kind of critique them and give them guidance.
That could be very intimidating for anyone.
It can, but we create a very safe environment for them to do that.
Yeah.
And they're doing it for a grade, so there is motivation there on their part to do well.
Yeah.
And they know that they need these skills. Some students are very self-aware. You know, an introvert kind of knows that they're shy. And so if they want to excel in different job opportunities and in college interview processes, they know they need to get better at those skills.
Let's talk about you for a minute. You're a Katrina evacuee, like I said. You have a big background in education. Let's see, you've got a PhD. Let's see, am I counting this correct? A PhD in instructional design and development from South Alabama, a master's of education leadership from Holy Cross, and a BA in mass communication and political science from, is it pronounced Principia?
Correct.
Principia College. You're an educator. You've been in education for a while. Now you're, are you teaching? Do you spend any time teaching?
I do. I like to keep a foot in the classroom.
Yeah. And what is your normal day doing?
Well, my normal day involves a lot of the day-to-day responsibilities of running a school. And so right now we're excited about some future prospects that we have. We're going to build a new science research facility. It will be named after the famed Alabama scientist Edward O. Wilson. And so the state of Alabama very much believes in what we're doing, and they backed it up. They put their money where their mouth is. They gave us a grant of $6 million to help us build this building.
Nice.
So right now, a big responsibility that I have is to make sure we're on the right track to break ground soon and to accept bids and get that building built so that our teachers and students can move in and get going.
Give me a sense of what a science building contains. What is the actual architecture of it that makes it unique?
Yeah, the outside of it is going to look like the rest of our campus.
Yes.
It's what goes on the inside that counts. And so we've studied what other colleges are offering in terms of lab experiences. And what we found is flexibility is going to be key for us and research space. So one thing that is unique about my school is that we have so many PhDs on staff who can conduct research, college and graduate level research. And we're going to bring that experience to our students now. And that will be more unique than what other high schools are doing throughout the country.
Is it a – you have a competitive tone when you say that. It will be more unique than what other high schools are doing throughout the country. Where does competition come into this?
Well, there's nothing wrong with healthy competition. And although Alabama sometimes struggles with offering high-level education, you know, in Mobile and throughout the state, education is improving to a great extent. And we want to be at the forefront of that.
Yeah. So are you comparing yourself to other similar state organizations in other states, other, let's say, the Florida School for Math and Science?
We do. We're part of a consortium. It's the NCSSS consortium. And so it's secondary specialized schools. And we do compare ourselves to them, but in a healthy way. We talk a lot. We're associated with them. We're on the phone with them. And we go to conferences with them. And so we share ideas. And some of the things that are working at the North Carolina school are things that maybe we'll bring back. And some things that we're working on and doing well with, maybe another school in the consortium will take back and learn from us.
Is there any pressure from the state of Alabama to enforce that the students come back here to practice, to the state of Alabama, to practice their skills?
Absolutely. We want them to. We don't like brain drain throughout the state. So when we talk to students and when we're recruiting them and talking to their families, we tell them that you will get a great education here, but we would hope that at some point you would consider what Alabama has to offer.
There's no effort to waive tuition, reduce tuition if they commit to coming back and practice their skill for 5-7 years after their final moment of education.
So the great thing about the Alabama School of Math and Science is we're free. We charge nothing for tuition, for room and board. They pay a student activity fee, but that has nothing to do with us educating them. It has to do everything with like going to prom, winter formal, fun activities. It pays for their yearbook. But other than that, they come to ASMS for free.
Wow. I could see how the state could lean on you to make sure you plant the message of please bring your education back home.
And they do. You know, if you go get medical care in Mobile, Alabama, there's a good chance you'll run into an ASMS graduate.
Shortly after that, an ASMS lawyer.
There are a few of those, yes.
Do you consider it a failure of the organization if you pump out a lawyer?
No, not at all. Not at all. We need good lawyers.
So you are New Orleans transplant, education through and through. Where do you – it's summertime now as we record this. Where do you relax? What is your – you know, there's a great question that I think the New York Times asks. Give me your Sunday agenda.
Oh, sure. I have picked up pickleball. Rest of the country during the pandemic. And so I can't get enough. And in fact, today after school, a group of faculty and staff are getting together in our gymnasium to play pickleball. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Is it very competitive?
It is. We have an art teacher. His name's Oren Kicklider. He is the senior staff member now. He's been at the school for about 25 years. He is a very good pickleball player.
Something has occurred to me as you were talking about pickleball, mind wandering. You don't have to fundraise, do you?
We do. Yeah, we do. We definitely fundraise. We have a foundation and they upkeep the buildings. Our buildings are 80 years old, so that's a constant battle that we have. To keep those buildings up is difficult. But we do fundraise and we do rely on that to help us, expand. And this new building that we're going to build, you know, the state has given us $6 million, but we think it's going to be more than that. Construction costs are going up, as everyone knows.
As everyone knows. One of the challenges I've had is getting people on the show to talk about the price of lumber. No one wants to go on the record to talk about it. It's really interesting. Fundraising seems to be a lot of time spent in people in your positions in education. Asking for money, finding grants, et cetera. How much time per week are you spending doing that?
Because we're now building a new building, a lot more time is going to be spent there. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a bad product that I was trying to ask money for, I'd be nervous. But we have an awesome product. Our school is amazing. And so I'm excited to talk to people about it.
Yeah. Tell me about, I've heard, kind of get into anecdotes here, working with PhDs. These are research-oriented people, and they can get very bitter over parking spaces, things of that nature. There's a funny joke, and I can't remember it, but they can really argue and debate over data, but they will come to fisticuffs over parking places.
So we have no problem with parking other than on Tuesday afternoons and in the morning when the Presbyterian Church here in Mobile offers their food drive. But since that's such a worthy cause, no one has really complained about those parking spaces. But our faculty are very normal. They're nice people. And what we look for are folks who fit into our culture.
Yeah.
So that's not hard to find in this area. There are very smart people in this area who are going to be good teachers and have come to us.
So when I ask the question, what are the trends in education? STEM is such a broad answer. Is there a – so I think of it this way. Fads are things that come and go. Fads are fun to observe. Trends last longer. Principles are fundamental. Socrates talked about principles. The show is about trends and how they support the principles. What are the trends in education right now that you're watching?
It's a good one. You know, outside of the curriculum, a student's mental health is something that a lot of school systems are talking about and worried about now. And I think that has a direct impact from COVID. We were isolated for a while, and that doesn't do kids justice. We're social beings. We like to be around people. But we were fully in person last year for most of the school year. We spent a couple weeks at home, remote learning at the beginning of the year. And then halfway through the year, we spent a couple weeks at home. But by and large, we were in person. And we plan to be in person next year for the entire year.
So the trend is mental health with the students. How are you measuring that?
It's good. So we track what students are having mental health challenges, and we have a full-time personal counselor on staff. We have a robust team of residence life folks who really look after the kids and care for their well-being and their emotional stability.
These are very competitive individuals. They hold themselves to a high standard. In order to get into the school, they've got to be competitive and hold themselves to a high standard. It would seem they're vulnerable to mental health issues even prior to COVID.
Well, I think that that's true, that sometimes smart people can have mental health issues. But, you know, that's the way of the world right now. And so what we will do is anything we can to help our students succeed. We have safety nets in place. It's not a sink or swim environment. And our counselors and our teachers and the folks who work at the school, they care about these kids and they do what they need to do to help them.
Somebody's going to want to know where I can find out more about your organization. Tell them how to do that.
Sure. So we're online. We're at www.asms.net. Our website can offer you a lot of information about the school.
John Hoyle, I'm glad to have you in Mobile, Alabama. I'm glad that Katrina flushed you out, and I'm glad you've stayed here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this break with final comments. You're listening to What's Working.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's. Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. Basically, what we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
I get the distinct impression that John Hoyle is very good at what he does and loves what he does and loves the people that he works with. You could see it in his eyes. I know you couldn't, but I could see it in his eyes when he talked about the work that he does and the peers and colleagues as well as the students. And it's wonderful to find people with such pride of the places that they work and the people that they produce and their outcomes. It's nice to know an organization like that exists here in the state of Alabama. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but when you hear some of the qualifications of the people that work there and some of the successes of the students that come out of there, it's something that I think we all should be very proud of in our little town of Mobile, Alabama. One of the constant themes that I come up with on this show, or that I'm struck by on this show, is the amount of talent that this city has and the type of people that have made it successful around here. And it's a conversation that I frankly love. There's so much of it that always points to the athletes from this part of the world. And we have more than our fair share of them, particularly baseball players. But there's some remarkable talent around here, and they choose to find this corner of Alabama and make it their home, and we're lucky for that. I want to remind you to check us out on social media. We keep an active presence. I keep an active presence on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. I wouldn't say it's actually active, but I'm there on Twitter, where you can find us and what we're doing, the shows that we're creating, some of the photos from the interviews and the guests, etc., things like that. Check us out on social media. Give us a check. Give us a find, or whatever that language is. Love to have you. Also, don't forget about the podcasts of these shows. If you enjoy them and wonder what guests we've had in the past, you can find them at whatsworkingcam.com. Again, whatsworkingcam.com. That's where the podcasts live, and it's on that page that you can find links to other shows, previous shows as well, places that you can subscribe to the show, and as just as importantly, forward that show on to somebody else and say, hey, man, I heard this. You need to hear about this, too. Speaking of which, we're always taking suggestions for content. If you know somebody that's got a pretty interesting story to tell, they don't have to be local to Mobile, Alabama, but got a pretty interesting business angle, pretty interesting story to tell, I'd love to meet them. The most popular topics that we tend to get around here, the ones that get the most feedback, are with succession planning. And I'm thinking of putting a series of shows together on succession planning from a leadership point of view, from a consulting point of view, whatever it may be. Again, that topic is always forefront when people start talking about what interests them the most in the show. It's their succession planning challenges. And I want you, if you've got some insight to share along those lines, email me, Cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. Again, Cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. Look forward to hearing from you. As we wrap up the show, we always need to acknowledge the people that are so generous and kind and make this happen. And on a separate note, we also need to acknowledge John Thompson. He is the show's producer. And every time we produce one of these shows, it's a day that he has not been able to get out on his boat and get to Horn Island, where the beer out there tastes like 10.7% better on the shores of Horn Island. Thank you, John. I appreciate the work that you do. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's hard the way I send you this content. Well, that's it for the show. Have a good show, everybody. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Have a good week, everybody.